Hi everyone, this is Marithwin again. Woohoo! I'm doing the AMA. So, you're probably going to hear me drinking water or clicking on a keyboard or scrolling a mouse. So, you know, fidgety stuff that wouldn't normally be in an audio, but that doesn't matter because I'm a writer. So, yay! Anyway, for kicks, I thought I would start at the bottom of the comments and go up because why not? All right, so the first question up is by Burger Account. I gotta admit, I really want to say Burt Bacharach, and I have no idea why. It doesn't make sense linguistically, but that's what the name makes me want to say. So the question is, are any of your scripts based on personal experiences or experiences shared with you from your friends? Yes, because we all learn from experience. And I think that's especially true in sex, unless you're very well studied. I'm trying to think. Well, obviously the historical scripts are based on my real life experiences because I'm an immortal. No, that's not true. Sorry, it's just me talking into the void, so I've got to, you know, do something that's fun. Oh, yay, the street racing outside has started. Whoop-de-doo. So nice. Hopefully I get to sleep tonight. Anyway, so yes, they are some of them are based on real experiences. The acts are, in a lot of cases, because you can adequately write something that you've experienced, and I always hope that people have similar tastes as I do, but they might not, so, you know. But then in which case you wouldn't be listening to me and you wouldn't be reading my script. So there you go. I answer my own question for myself. So I'm assuming that means you want to hear me talk about specific ones that are based on specific things. So let's see. I'm trying to think. Like, some of them aren't. Like, obviously, some of the openers are kind of based. Like, I think we've all had, like, those cheesy, flirtatious conversations. But not exactly that way. I remember, was it the first date I was ever on? The guy opened with close-up magic, actually. Which was funny because did not look like the type who would do that. But yeah, he opened with that. That it went pretty well. But yeah, it's one of those like cheesy things. So it, which I think speaks to the fact that everybody just wants to have fun on a first date. Like, that's really where we're at. Sorry, I was just bringing up my list of scripts because why would I have done that beforehand? That's just insane. Anders and Reed, that whole series. I didn't realize that was the first script I wrote. Oh man. Yeah, no, several things in there. Like, you've got, like, cunnilingus, sitting on the face, a blowjob, from behind, shower sex. Shower sex is fun. Bathtub sex is fun, too, but everybody is like, safety, safety. And I understand that. I really do. Actually, speaking of, something that is not in one of my scripts is, I think I gave, like, a 30-second blowjob in a bathtub. So, yeah, 30 seconds, pretty good for holding my breath. I know deep-sea divers are going to be like, bitch, please, I can hold my breath for 30 minutes. Well, yeah, I, you know, not half bad, I thought, for myself. And, you know, something off the bucket list, right? Surprisingly, the weirdest script I think I've written is You're a Crazy Bitch, But You... there's car sex in there, and I have done that where I've like masturbated with my significant other driving, and it's fun as long as you're not going through a busy city, unless you're an exhibitionist and you like that sort of thing. But in which case, that like brings on questions about consent, and I mean, we could have this theoretical discussion forever. What else is in here that's like outside of the obvious? Surprisingly, I have not been in a three-way, which is probably why I wrote three at one time. Because, you know, we write about what we want. I don't know. I'm trying to say anything else really hasn't been brought up. No, I don't think so. Friends experiences, probably some stuff just like kind of melds into my head. The M for M, I may have borrowed liberally from a friend of mine's life experiences that he's had and like fantasies that he may have expressed. So, thank you to him. Not that he would be listening to this. So yeah, I hope that answered your question. All right, and up, whoa, this is a lot of questions. From Riff341, give me your math homework. Well, you know what? Tell me how I can win the lottery. That's my math homework. I want to know that. That's my math homework that I have to do, and I would really like to know that. No, I shouldn't. That's kidding. I'm sorry. Okay. So, blah, 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 blah. When taking the plunge, you added several unasked questions. Yes, it did. Was there any impetus behind these besides I'm a writer? Oh, you're not going to like my answer. No, there wasn't. And it wasn't even because I was a writer. It's because I was in the mood to talk, and I was like, nah, I can talk for 20 minutes. Let's extend this out here. I want to talk. I want to see if, like, other people answer this in the comments, and we can chat. Because, like all the rest of you, I am a lonely, lonely person. Kidding. I am sarcastic. Sorry, I usually do a disclaimer before I start talking that I am quite sarcastic. So, you know, I hope you get that kind of humor. But yeah. No, I... Because honestly, me answering questions that I myself am asking myself kind of only affects me in the grand scheme of things, and it affects me neutrally. So it doesn't have a negative impact on anybody or on the world. It's fairly inconsequential. So yeah, you know, why not? Let's have fun. In those questions, you answered music I listen to when I write, but you answered it by giving the weirdest music you listen to. Why didn't you simply make the question imply weirdest music? And was it so that you could just shout out Adam Lambert? Ha! Like Adam Lambert needs anyone to shout them out. He's the front man for Queen. He's got enough publicity. Because the second I said it, I wanted to change it. And because it was my own question, I could friggin' change it. Because why not? But if you want to know about the music I listen to when I write, it honestly depends on the mood. And it depends on what I'm trying to write and what I'm trying to get across. So I'm trying to think of like an example. Adam Lambert's Roses is one that I listened to on a loop when I was really trying to capture a certain mood and I just couldn't stay in the right headspace. And that's like more of a like funk thing. So the mood works. If I'm trying to go for something rougher or more high energy, then I'm going to look for that in the music I listen to. So that could be something like... kind of the earlier stuff by Arctic Monkeys and Royal Blood. It's got a really nice kind of like heavy feel to it. What else? Oh, Bikini Kill has some good ones as well for that mood. I'm not gonna lie, Bikini Kill has some good ones. What else? Kylie Minogue. It's probably like the only pop person I really listen to. And she's got some good ones that really cover a range of moods. I don't know who works on her music, but they're great. Most of the time it's great. I'm gonna turn my phone off now because it keeps going off. Trying to think. See, I lost my train of thought. Oh, I've been getting into synthwave, and Carpenter Brute is good. Always gonna go with Daft Punk. Tron Legacy is an amazing soundtrack, and I will fight you on it. Not like on the internet. No, literally, I will fight you physically on it. A lot of people say, "I'll fight you on it." Yeah, fighting in the comments isn't fighting. So yeah. Oh, there's a crossed out question. Now, I can be a jerk and tell you what a crossed out question means to me, but I don't want Riff here to feel that I'm calling him out. But so to me, when I see a crossed out question, to me, it's you wanted to ask the question, but you're not asking the question. But you want me to know that you wanted to ask the question. So we're going to have. It's like, I'm going to answer it. It's there. What's your opinion on rhythm, hymns, nymphs, glyphs? Hope I pronounced that right. And what do you think about the concept of C S Y Z Y G Y? Now I have to look up how to say it. Make me use my keyboard. Da, 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 da. Everyone gets to listen to my searching song because I'm totally not prepared. But what are you gonna do? Oh, okay. So, how do I say it? Syzygy. There we go. Thank you, Google. Yeah, so what's my opinion on those concepts? Okay, so. Rhythm. Are we talking about rhythm of music? Are we talking about rhythm of the dancer? Are we talking about the constant circadian rhythms? Are we talking about the rhythms that people share? Are we talking about the rhythm of your heartbeat? I don't know, because rhythm is a dancer. Rhythm's important. For all those reasons that I listed, it's important, and I don't think people realize that. Like the rhythm of the tides, the rhythm of these are the rhythms of our lives, like the sands in the hourglass. You know what? Never ever watched a soap opera, but I can tell you all the tropes about them because of pop culture. So yeah, no, I think probably like the most interesting concept with rhythm is when you get to rhythm between people. Like if you get people to stand, not that you can do it this closely anymore right now because COVID, to stand about, I don't know. I don't know, like almost touching, but not quite. If you get them to stand in a group, so everybody, if they stand, they naturally have a swing. And that's for many functional reasons. But if you get a group of people to stand and do that together, that kind of rocking between the 2 feet ends up becoming very rhythmic and they end up matching. And then what's really cool, and this is, by the way, you have to have them have their eyes closed, otherwise it's cheating. There'll actually be this almost circle happening. And it's like everybody's synced up to have this internal rhythm that they're all sharing. And I've always thought that was really neat. And if you want to get philosophical, you can. It's just neat because it's physical body connections that I don't feel that we talk about enough in a non-sexual context. Hymns, they're a type of music. I assume that fits in with rhythm. They're usually religious. I myself don't sing them, so I can't say much on them. Nymphs, who doesn't like ladies who live in water? And, you know, in a lot of cases, kill and maim. Like, come on. I am all for mythology here. Glyphs. I have two definitions floating around in my head. So what do when we have that? We look it up to see which one is right. Okay, so I had sorry, I think visually, so I had symbols in my head when I saw glyphs.
So, in typography, a glyph is an elemental symbol with an agreed set of symbols intended to represent a readable character for the purposes of writing.
Well, obviously, as a writer, I have to like it. So you kind of backed me into a corner there. Good for you, Riff. And then next is the one that I said earlier. Great. I have to ask Google how to say it again. Give me a second. Syzygy. There we go. So I will say the definition of it because, as I said, I think visually, so I'm just going to be like, you know, it's a thing where where the planets line up and it's a line. So the actual definition is a roughly straight line configuration of three or more celestial bodies in a gravitational system. Ping! For the wink that you do at the end to show that you're both cute and smart. Which I'm not, I just know random facts for Trivial Pursuit. I don't know. Like, I always think of this, of when we get into space and gravitational systems and stuff like that. I always think of it as neat, and I think of it as really interesting how humans like to logically explain naturally occurring situations. To the same end, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've noticed this about my personality, is I can let things go. I don't need things overly explained to me to understand it or to let it exist. And when it comes to space, I tend to find that if I start going down the rabbit hole of thought there, I end up in a bit of a spiral. And that's never good. But I also think it's a way of understanding your own place in it and how we are all insignificant, and when we die, no one will care. And that was the depressing bit of the day. So yeah, you can blame Riff for that. I'm throwing you under the bus, Riff. It's going to happen. Okay. Where did my username come from? From Riff again. So it is Welsh. More specifically, that was supposed to be my real name, and it wasn't, which is good. It's actually a kind of mangled Welsh. It's not a proper name. It's a bit kind of mangly, mishmashy. But I mean, if you've looked at the Welsh language and some of the insanely long town names they have, I'm sure I would have gotten away with it were it actually my real name. It's not. It was in the top five to be my real name, and it was not. So I figured I'd use it here because it's actually insanely far removed from my name. Riff wrote, and because I want to make a habit of being annoyingly math-centric like a jackass, if y plus y plus y equals 13 plus 18 plus 20 plus 8 plus 23 plus 14, what is the prime factorization of y? I don't know. Is it like 2 to the power of 5 or something like that? I don't know. Oh, or you know what? To quote my grandfather, because Y is a crooked letter that cannot be straightened. So there you go. All right, moving on up. Bored Final asked, I noticed quote-unquote nerdy scripts tend to get a lot of attention. What fan fiction would you want to write into a GWA script? I have a soft spot for the Fables comic book series and Snow and Bigby. So that would probably be what I'd write, but also because I have a soft spot for that, I'd have to be in a mind state where I can remove myself from the whole, like, no, no, this is wrong, no. Excuse me, sorry. Allergy season. So yeah, that. And just for fun, describe your dream partner. Oh my God. So when I do have a sexual dream, typically it's who I call, like, Shadow Dude. So I tend to change bodies in my dream. So who, I guess, dream me, dream Marithwin is with in dreams, changes. So it's kind of like a shadow manifestation. And then as everything in the dream shifts and changes, that's when kind of the bodies solidify. And my cat just joined the party. Keep going. There we go. So, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's something that's connecting. Usually, like, I'm 5'2", so when I say taller than me, that doesn't set anything. Shoulders are a thing. And tends to be darker hair? No. There's a blonde ones. So, yeah. Listening and attentive. There we go. That's good. Although, funny story. Ha ha ha. So I tend not to have explicit sexual dreams, like kind of once or twice a year is the usual number. However, I don't know what it is, if it's like been lockdown or something, but like there was a week where I just had sex dream after sex dream after sex dream, and all of them were with John Oliver. And it literally would be, I'd be like having a normal conversation and then scene cut straight to bam, explicit sex scene. And I will say that Dream John Oliver, very attentive, very enthusiastic. So all good qualities to have, you know, in life, really, even outside of the bedroom. Moving on up. Oh, we've got, I almost skipped this name. Rob Serial, who is asking, what three celebrities would you want to record your scripts? Sean Bean, Tom Hiddleston, and Idris Elba. Although I can't afford any of them, so, you know. But yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be pretty cool. Probably destroy their careers or make their careers. Who knows? But yeah, that'd be neat. Next person, Ava Lee, 123. I've never said your name out loud. That's really cute. Ava Lee, 123. That's nice. What are your top three movies with men in uniforms? Oh, man. Oh. Okay, I did write some down, and I tried to get a variety, okay? Obviously, near and dear to my heart, it's not a movie. It's a series. It's the Richard Sharpe series. That's always going to be near and dear to my heart. I do like Regency era movies. So, you know, your Pride and Prejudice. So that's set during the Napoleonic Wars. Actually, the Sharpe series is too. But I found that when you get into more of the officer look, the top half of the uniform is quite nice. The bottom half of the uniform, I don't know what it is, but sometimes the fit is really off in the pants. And I'm not sure what it is. So I think you're going to have, it's depending on who's in charge of your costuming there, whether or not. But yeah, like Pride and Prejudice era, they tend to have really nice jackets. Inglourious Basterds has some really good costuming work in it, really like spot on. FYI, the Nazi uniforms were originally designed by Hugo Boss, so, you know, not the best company, but damn, they can cut a suit. They can really cut a suit. Going into more of a sci-fi direction, I do love the costuming in Dread. I really do love the Dread uniforms. Like, it's a very tactical, utilitarian, practical, armored-based uniform, and I like that. Yay, the police are going off to catch the street racers, so that's good. Sorry, street racing is actually a problem in my neighborhood, so I'm just like, yay! Please get them off the streets before they flip their cars again, because they do that. They go that fast, they flip the cars. That's neither here nor there. Because I'm trying to get variety. So 310 to Yuma, and I've only seen the recent remake. Well, not recent. It has Russell Crowe and Christian Bale in it. And that's kind of interesting because it's Wild West. So there's not really a fully set uniform that we're talking about there, but it's the look and it's the cut. Like that's what it is. Keep going into this. If you want sort of more, I guess, modern, but meaning 80s, 90s, Few Good Men and Top Gun, because Few Good Men, you get to see a lot of the dress uniforms, the more modern ones. Top Gun, you're looking at the jumpsuit look. And actually, you could justify Alien on there too for that, because they used, I can't remember what type of flight suit it was. I've been trying to find that flight suit. Oh my God, I want to get the flight suit from Alien, but neither here nor there. Also, Top Gun has like the whole, what is it, like 20 minute long volleyball topless sequence on the beach. So going into the sci-fi again, Star Wars. If you look at a lot of the uniforms, they do follow nice cuts and things like that. You're also looking at, it is very historically inspired as well. So kind of like a futuristic take on what we're used to seeing. I know there's like a samurai movie that has like really great samurai uniforms or armor, if you want to go in that direction. But we're talking uniforms, not sets of armor. So this is kind of a side note. I'm not a huge fan of like stereotypically historical French uniforms. And by that, I mean like musketeers. That being said, if that's your style of uniform that you like, any of the musketeer movies all have a different play on it. And it can hit anything really. For that. And then I think I've mentioned I'm Canadian. So the RCMP, really nice jacket, not the best pants. We got the saddlebags and it's just, I don't know. I've yet to meet, if there's somebody out there who can pull off the saddlebag look, by all means comment and link them. But I have yet to see somebody where they wear those kind of saddlebag uniform pants and you're just like, damn. Yeah, no, I haven't had that reaction to them. But yeah, I RCMP, they have nice looking stuff. So I guess you could, like, if you wanted a comedy, that would be Dudley Do Right. You get to see Brendan Fraser before he, that was one of the movies he made before he disappeared, but that's a story for another time, because you know all Canadians know each other, right? Kidding. Okay, again from Ava Lee. What does writing porn mean to you? So it's a bit of kind of self-expression, and creative self-expression in terms of creative process and getting to the final product, I guess. It's very simple. It's something that you don't have to put on makeup, you don't have to do costuming, you don't need choreo, you don't need to like spend hours and hours mixing and all this other stuff. It's something that's very I'm able to get my thoughts out much faster. I'm able to like go through the creative process faster, and I'm able to go through my thoughts and make something and feel that I'm producing something that's an extension of myself much faster and throw it out into the world to share with people. The other aspect of it is this kind of gaining control over certain aspects of my sexuality and being able to explore that. So it's I mentioned before that I'm not a huge fan of visual porn because I just get thrown off by certain things. There's so much, and if even one thing is kind of off, I'm gonna focus on it and it's not gonna do anything. So what this lets me do is it lets me kind of produce stories that I want to hear,
and get thoughts out of my, and sometimes it's an exercise in just getting thoughts out of my head so that I can just see them out before me and be like, yeah, that's something, and off it goes. Or it's something that I'm very invested in, that I would like to see recorded, and fully realized. So I hope I answered the question. So yeah, it's really about this sort of sense of like self-expression and creativity into the world, but then also this kind of control over what I'm able to create and produce, to fulfill a sexual fantasy, a sexual desire, or even just like, because I do enjoy the challenge of writing stuff for others. So, and there's this weird kind of connection thing that you can get with people when you produce something that they like and that they thought that they wouldn't see. So that's really nice to feel that connection to other people. And then off of that, Avalee also asks, do you find it easier to write the sex parts or the parts where the story is developed? The sex parts I find easier to write. The story parts are what I will spend more time on, because I find that that's where you get the authenticity in the story. And that's where you set up your reasons for why the characters are having sex. And in this format, the characters are the speaker and the listener. So setting that up is, I find, to be the more challenging part to do, just because it's kind of the make or break. It's what sets, in my mind, it's what sets up the sex part to happen. And so it's got to have this certain level of realism. Like when you're writing a sex scene, I find less possibilities in what you can say, because obviously certain things are just not sexy, or they don't make sense in a sexual context. So you have a lot to choose from, but it's not as much as you have in establishing sort of normal dialogue and plot. So that, and that's what I always try to work on. And if I think there's a weak point in my writing, it would usually be surrounding that. So I hope that answered your question. Moving up, my oral fixation asked a few questions. So how did you stumble on GWA audio erotica GWA/audio erotica, and what led you to jump in and try the scripting yourself? So I stumbled onto it several years ago now, actually, back before I even had an account, and I was like lurking and had like a friggin' sticky notes so I wouldn't lose where it was and stuff like that. And the reason why I stumbled upon it was I discovered that I really liked being spoken to during sex, and I liked hearing scenarios, not necessarily what we were doing. And so that led me to, like, you know, you talk to friends and stuff, and that led me to be directed to GWA specifically. And that's when I just kind of like went exploring and went looking, and like you have your kind of like your favorite performers, and you have your favorite audios and stuff like that. And it just, it kind of went from there, and I noticed sort of what I was gravitating towards and what I enjoyed to hear. Because for me, it's voice first, content second. Not to say that content isn't important, because content is. But that was something where I was kind of getting used to seeing a lot of like, the setup I really like, but I don't like what you're doing, or I don't understand why certain things are happening. And just sometimes it would be like that. Other times it would be great, and I'd be like, oh, like, I wish there were more things like this. And that tended to my reaction tended to be towards creators who, they didn't publish the scripts that they made and performed. They did not release those. So, you know, you listen for a while, and then
I started realizing I was looking for things that weren't produced yet and that I wanted, that were more specific than what you can look up in the, what is it called? And like the quick links and like the filters, there we go. And like the filters that we have. So that led me to being like, well, if I'm looking for something this specific and it's harder to find, because the more you narrow, the less you're going to see. I was like, well, why don't I start writing my own stuff? So I wrote one and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to toss it out there. And my goal actually originally, because I didn't start writing until March of this year, and my goal was actually to be like, you know, if I can do one script a week, that'd be really awesome. I've done 57, so evidently I had a lot more to write and say and a lot more ideas than I thought I did. Although I do think I'm running out of ideas, so like I do find myself, and also the other reason why I write is sometimes I'll go scrolling through like requests and see what people are looking for, and if I like it, or if I can go, or if it presents, so this is the thing, I can either be like, oh, I've instantly thought of something, well now to get this out of my head and write it, or I can look at something and go, huh, you know, if we did this and this, but then we went over here, but then how do we tie that over back into there? And then I'll sit on it, and then like 10 minutes later I'll be like, oh my god, I should do it this way. So like, yeah, it's either I instantly get an idea, or I'm just like, something is making me gravitate to this, I don't know what it is, and so it's like a challenge to write it. So either I'm writing for myself or to get, yeah, there's kind of three reasons why I would write. One, for myself, because I want to hear something. Two, because I have an idea stuck in my head, and Lord knows it will not get out of my head until I write it out. Or three, I see something and it grabs me in some way, and so I have to write it out. So yeah, it was just basically the kind of the nagging feeling in the back of my head of like, this should be written, and then I just went out and started writing. So you know, and now the karma sustains me. I'm kidding myself, like all of you are kidding yourselves. Joking. All right. If you magically got the chance to live out one of your scripts, however unlikely or impossible in real life, which one would you want to experience? Okay, my role fixation. That's a hard one, because like I have general preferences, but I also have like moods, and moods affect what I would want. So with that in mind, I have one script that's been on the back burner for a very long time, like an extremely long time that I haven't written. And I would say that would be probably the one that I'd want to live out, slash experience. More than the rest, it hasn't been written, but that's not a cop out. That is not a cop out. Okay, so I'm gonna answer this because, like I said, I end up being in moods and like flavors of the month. So, for example, like the three way ones, it's like, yeah, I'm really bland. I haven't been in a three way, so I listen to them if I was in the mood for a three way. Okay, don't judge me. Actually, you know what? None of you can judge me because you're all on here. So meh. But the ones that I'm currently, I keep going back to and revisiting is the reading. And that is probably because like it would be kind of cool to have that idealized, you know, rose-colored glasses version of the past. Like that would be really, really nice to experience, just in terms of a sensory way. But then also it's, you know, I feel like most people didn't really like my like first time. So, you know, it'd be
nice to rewrite it.
I didn't hate my first time, but I also recognized that like it could have gone way better. And then the other one, I don't know why, I will go back to Anders and Reed quite a bit, that series. I'm trying to think, more specifically, the one that I end up going back to a lot is, I think it's four or five, that one. But yeah, the reading and that one from Anders and Reed tend to be the ones that I revisit. But the and then there's the one that I have yet to write that I'd want to experience. And hopefully one day it gets written, or maybe it won't. Who knows? The world is an interesting place that is ever changing. Anyway, what is my happy place? That's hard. That's really hard. A happy place. There's this moment in life, and you can have multiple moments of this, where you realize that you are truly in the moment, where your brain isn't thinking about what might come out of your mouth, what might happen, what might be going on, or what has happened, what has been going on, and you're not even thinking about the situation. You are fully experiencing it, and you're fully immersed, and it's like you're hyper focused, but at the same time you're completely fluid. So it's almost, when you try to revisit those moments, like you're catching at a dream. But those are those rare moments of being what I would describe as completely in the present. That's when I feel happy, because I find that I am the most connected to my moment and to everybody in that moment, in that space and time. And it's, you just are experiencing in real time. You're not, like, even right now, in the back of my head, I'm thinking about how long I'm talking for, and that people are very clearly bored, and I haven't made a joke once, and I haven't told like a single one of my funny, like, that's all going on in the back of my head right now. So I'm not truly in the experience of the now. And that's a very cerebral way to answer that question. Oh God, you guys must think I'm so fucking pretentious. Like, oh my God. Okay, I've got a, more practically speaking, what is my happy place? It is a warm bath with a Lush bath bomb, and I do not care about brand like recognition or anything like that. Like, I'm going to call bullshit on that. If you've had a Lush bath bomb and then had anything else on the market, you know that Lush bath bomb is the best fucking thing ever. And don't tell me how much it costs, because I know half of you spend way more on your alcohol or on your Starbucks. So, you know, but yeah, like, lights out, playing, right now it's playing synthwave. Like, it, if my cat curls up outside of the bathtub, reach out and give her a pat, and like, that's fun. Like, it's just that kind of moment of, here I am. Me in my body, in my space, just letting my brain calm down. And that's a very happy place, I think. Pickles, delicious or disgusting? Now, it's going to depend on the pickle. It's going to depend on the brine. And it's going to depend on how long it's been in that. Like, I'm all for pickles. I am all for pickles. And I honestly want to know why pickles from a restaurant taste better than the pickles that you can get from the shelf at home. I don't understand why they taste just slightly better and slightly different when you get them at a restaurant. For some reason, I always think long sliced, like lengthwise sliced pickles taste best. Don't know why that is. But yeah, like, pickles. come on. Now, I do recognize that, like, it really does depend on the brine and how long it's been in there. So, like, sometimes they can be off. Sometimes they can't be proper. Plus, I'm also a texture person. So, like, they can't be, like, super soft and soggy. But they also can't be too crunchy. There's like, that ideal balance, you know, of flavor and of, like, your consistency in the texture. So, yeah. Like, I could go on and on about pickles. Like, pickles are a thing. Pickles belong on your sandwiches and they belong on your burgers. You need them on there, okay, people? You gotta have them on there. I'm sorry. I'm very passionate about this pickle thing. Like, maybe one day I'll write a manifesto about it. I don't know. We'll see. But thank you for those questions. My oral fixation. Oh, oblique strategist. I like that. I also forgot to, like, be like, oh, Ava Lee, 123, caring slut. But oblique strategist. Like, that's nice to say. And last question we've gotten up to the top is Taco Geek GWA. Aw, I do believe I wanted you to answer some questions, didn't I? So I'm saying right now, the, like, tag your it questionnaire, you better do it. Unless I friggin' missed it. And then in which case, I'm sorry. What are your favorite things to hear in an audio? I know you talked about this in general in the last audio, but I mean, like, more detailed, specific acts, etc. So, I really like to hear about plot and relationship structure. Like, yeah, baby, talk to me about how we're gonna go shopping. Tell me about that cereal you love and about the yogurt you put in it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, honey, put those berries on there. And then tell me about how you're going to do the dishes. That was a cop-out answer, by the way, just because I know what you're getting at and I'm being a dick. I genuinely do like to hear about plot and relationship structure because, like I said, why the hell are the people having sex? I need to know that or I can't buy into it. I need to know. I need to know why. Otherwise, everything else that follows is ridiculous. Specific acts. In the audio context, that is a bit hard to describe. I do know that there is this voice change that I find a lot of the male voice actors do when they're doing sex from behind. And there's this change. Even if it's, like, minuscule, there's this shift in their tone that they do when they start doing that act that I actually quite enjoy listening to. Overall, I like to hear descriptions of the body and praise, and I like to hear ambient kissing. Meaning, like, kissing in between the words. It's why if you read a lot of my audios when I write a cunnilingus scene, there's talking between. And I'll say, like, you can do this after, you can do this in the middle, you can choose this, that, or the other thing. And it's because we are dealing with, this is porn that is audio based. So, yeah, like, the sounds of the act matter, but there's also the words in between. Like, if you're getting into, like, and then I'm going to, like, lick from the bottom, the base of your labia majora up to the clit, open up the labia majora, lick the labia minora, open up that. Like, that's way too descriptive for me. I'm just like, oh, this is an anatomy lesson. All right, then. Let me get my notebook out. I'm going to draw some diagrams here. It's like I can state the act, like, from behind, cunnilingus, and stuff like that. But for me to actually enjoy listening to it, it really is a combo of the tone of voice, the non-dialogue sounds that are being made, and then what is the dialogue itself focusing on? Because if it's instructional, it's not really going to work. And if it's overly descriptive, it's not really going to work for me. It can work for other people. So it's got to be that balance. That's why I'm saying, like, it's like that whole kind of like head to toe, I'm like going to kiss your lips. I'm going to kiss down your neck. I'm going to like describing like breast play continuing down the body, like hearing. And you can be descriptive without really describing size, I find. So that kind of like praise based stuff that you get well doing things. Sorry, FYI, my definition of sex is quite broad. So what a lot of people would consider foreplay, I actually consider sex. So I define sex as deriving sexual pleasure from two or more, sorry, sexual pleasure being derived between two or more consenting adults. And I use that because it's more inclusive of different sex acts. I hate the fact that people have this definition that's based on penis in vagina or even just penis in something. I'm just like, no, there's so much more you can do. That's not just that. So to me, that's all part of sex. That is all part of sex. That's building up sexual anticipation, building up to all those things. That's all part of it. It makes it better. So I definitely like to hear multiple orgasms, because that's the type of person I am. One is not enough. I'm sorry. One is not enough, especially when you can get more intensity the more that you do. Like, and I will die on that hill, damn it. Kidding. So I'm trying to think. So, see, Taco Geek GWA, you asked a hard question, and now I'm rambling. And this isn't good. This isn't good. We have to get back on topic here. So, yeah. Fingering. That is always going to be one for me. And I also think that fits well in the art form that is the erotic audio. I also think that fits well in that. Because you can be saying other things while the act is going on. And that it also brings into the fact that, like, I'm assuming everybody's masturbating, like the vast majority of us are. So, you know, that's helpful too. The thing like guys' voices do when they do from behind. Fingering, descriptions of the body and like ambient kissing. Because I just find it brings in kind of a more realistic thing when you add in like the praise and like a light bit of body worship as well as like the ambient kissing. Because in comparison to like audio sex, which falls into like phone sex and sexting and all of that, it's a lot more wordy than when you're actually physically having sex because the person is there and because those spots that you would fill in with a lot of talking is filled in with a lot of kissing and stuff like that, that you are experiencing physically in real time. So I tend to find that when you add some of that in there with the talking, it helps kind of ramp up the believability, at least for me. Trying to think if there's something else. Like I'm being like quite like, what do I in general like hearing? Yeah, and the fingering thing. I'm really thinking here. It's difficult. Like, I don't know how specific you want me to get. I think I've given you some, like, good answers. So, yeah, take that. Answered things. I answered questions like a person, an adult type person. And I think that is the end. Yeah, those are all the questions, all the stuff people wanted to hear. I'm trying to think.
No, see, my funniest, like, I wanted to end this with like a funny sex story, but if you heard my last audio, you heard it, which was my two like blowjob stories gone wrong. So like I got nothing for you guys. Like, I'm sorry. That sucks. Is there anything funny? Got to end off with a funny story. So. I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Well, okay, really light though. I think my first boyfriend and I, we were on like this super long walk and we started making out. And like really making, like I said, first boyfriend. So like I had been waiting for this. So like if we were going to make out, we were going to make out, and I didn't care that it was broad daylight on a city street. But yeah, we're making out, car goes by, get a room. And I was just like, oh no. Oh no. How embarrassing. Now I don't give a shit. I'm jaded. I'm old. I don't care anymore. So yeah, no, this was fun. It was fun and I enjoyed it. I think recently on my user, I added sort of like forms. If you have like feedback to give or if you have requests, because yeah, I really do enjoy writing and not all the time do I have ideas, so you can like send kind of like requests of something that you'd want to hear me write. I also have a thing for collabs, because believe it or not, I actually really do like collaborating with people. So yeah, I'm always open to collaboration. I'm always open to seeing like requests and hearing feedback, and I tend to focus on like, what do you want to hear? What do you want to read or hear more of? And what would you like to see more of? So if you go over there, that'd be nice, because I'm lonely and I need things to do. Like all of you, or at least any of you who are still in lockdown, because I am, because I don't trust the neighborhood I live in, because no one wears a mask. And they like to, and there's been incidences of people purposefully coughing on others. Isn't the world great? But anyway, yeah, on a happy note, this was so much fun. I really did enjoy it. And it's gotten me thinking about doing a podcast. So who knows? Maybe you'll hear from me again. I don't know. But this was a lot of fun. And thanks for listening to me ramble on and on and on and on like I'm doing right now. And, for me, it is night now, so I hope you all have a great night, or great morning, or great day, whenever you choose to listen to this. Bye.